Well, good evening, young disciples. Wow, that's not very often I get that. Not even from my own children. Okay, well, it is really a great privilege to be here. As Ted said, we've known each other for a long time, but being that we live a long way around the other side of the world, we don't get to see many of our American friends very often. But it was a blessing for us to meet up with them back when they were in Australia in January. And seeing we were coming through the States at this point in time, at this year, we were very glad to be able to come along and be involved in this wonderful opportunity that you young people have. And I hope you appreciate having young disciple camps. When I was your age, we didn't have anything like this. And I can tell you that many of my peers, as we went through our teenage years, we struggled with a lot of things because we didn't have the kind of support and resources and friends that you guys have here and that you make. It's really a blessing that you have this. And I just pray that as you are here this week, you know that you are here because God brought you here. You know that you are here because this is your appointment with God. Not your appointment with all the classes, not your appointment with all the counselors, not your appointment with all the friends. All those things are just secondary. Your primary focus in being here is to be here with God. And if you make that your focus, if you make that your purpose, then you will go from this place different. Different to when you arrived. And you know, young people, don't wait until you're older. A few years ago, I was studying with a man who was 92 years old. 92 years old. Now, he told me as we were studying, we came to the subject of the Sabbath. And he said to me, you know, Mark, when he accepted it and he made his decision to join the church, get baptized, follow God's leading in all that he could see, he said, you know, Mark, a number of years ago, I heard the Sabbath truth. A number of years ago, I was convicted that this was right. But I was a pillar in my society. I was a pillar in my community. I had been a member of my church for over 70 years. He said, and so I decided not to do it. But it sat at the back of my mind. It niggled away at me year after year after year. And finally, at 92, he had peace. He said, now I know that I am following my Lord and Savior 100%. You know, friends, and he used to tell us, he said, Mark, you tell all those young people, don't put it off. If you're sitting here tonight and you're not really sure about whether you should be a Christian, you're not really sure about whether all the things that your parents have taught you are for real, then this week, as we go through in our campfire times together, we're going to look at ways to know that God is real. And he's real not just to the people back then, not just to the people who lead out, but he's real to you. I want to start tonight by considering Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, I'm not sure if all of you do tonight, because I know some of your luggage is still in the back of pickups, but if you have a Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is, as many of you probably know, or maybe you don't, is the chapter of faith. The chapter on the great men and women of old who did wonderful things for God. And you know, as God's young disciples, living in the last days, living in the times when all the prophecies are fulfilling around us, it's more important than ever before that you young people learn how not to live by your feelings, not to live by sight, by the things of your circumstances, but to live by faith in Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. What does this mean? What does it mean that it's something that you don't see? Faith is the substance of the things you hope for, the evidence of the things you don't see. You see, Mrs. Everett was teaching you Bible memorization, wasn't she? So what are you learning in your Bible memorization section? Isaiah 55. Okay, you're learning the Bible. Why are you learning the Bible? No one knows? Because you're told to? It's the sword of the Spirit? That's a good answer. Why else do we learn the Bible? To hide it in our hearts? Yes? Because it's worth it. Amen. Good answer. Okay, to be able to meet temptation. Now, this is practical. See, you know, I love to look at the Bible and make it practical. If it doesn't mean something to me in my daily life, then it's no good to me. You know, too many people in our society are full of head knowledge that doesn't do us any good in our practical daily life. But the Bible is God's book, God's message, God's instruction to you and I on a practical, everyday, ho-hum level. See, God isn't just about the miraculous. You know, one day we're going to look out here and the sky is going to be filled with angels from one horizon to the other. And in the middle of that sky is going to be Jesus. Now, that's miraculous, isn't it? You don't sound very enthusiastic, okay? That's miraculous, isn't it? Okay, but we don't have that happen every day, do we? It's not every day you get up and the sky is full of angels. But you know that every day when we get up, the world is actually full of angels? Right here with us today, the world is full of angels. But God is here in the seemingly ho-hum things of our life. The times when we have to clean the bathroom. The times when we have to weed the garden. The times when we have to clean our room. Or do our maths homework. All these things, God is right there with us. And we need to learn that faith is about recognizing God's presence with us, regardless of what we see around us, regardless of what we feel around us, or regardless of who is around us. Let's jump over from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with" what? "So great a cloud of witnesses, let us run therefore with" what? "Patience, the race that is set before us." Doing what? "Laying aside every weight, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Now, I don't believe in competitive sports, okay? But when I was younger, when I was your age, I didn't know that. And so I was brought up in a regular sort of home where we had competitive sports and I was involved in sport in school. Now, I wasn't big enough to be a footballer. In Australia, you've got to be really big and strong to be a footballer. And I didn't do that one. I used to play cricket. Does anyone know what cricket is? And Melanie and Kirsten, you can't answer. Okay, so I used to play cricket when I was young, but one of the things I loved to do when I was young was I used to run. I used to be in the athletics team, and I used to love to run. Now, I must tell you though, I was not a marathon runner. I was a sprinter. I did 100 meters, 110 hurdles, 200 meters, and if I was really pushed, I would sometimes do a 400. But that was too long. I used to think, anything over 200 is too long. And so we used to run. And one of the things I used to love about sprints is that you get down into the starting blocks, you get up, you wait for the gun to go off. The gun goes off, and you push yourself out of those blocks, and you give it 150%, and you burst down the track, you hit the end, and then you collapse on the grass on the side. And it's all done. It's really easy. 13 seconds, 12 seconds, all done. And I used to like that. That was enough for me. But you know, if I had to run the cross country, every year our whole school had to run the cross country, which was 10 kilometers. And as a sprinter, how long do you think I would last? Not very long. I was usually one of these people. Our group would walk the first 5 kilometers, then we'd sit down, then we'd walk another kilometre, then we'd get through, and we just took forever, and we just couldn't get it. I was not a long-distance runner, not at all. But, you know, it's interesting, as I look back, when I became a Christian when I was 19, I used to look back at the way I actually lived my Christian experience. And I'd find out something new. I'd read something in the Bible. I'd find out something new. I'd want to do it. I'd put it into practice. And I'd get all enthusiastic about it. And it'd be all exciting. And I'd really put everything into it. And then what would happen, do you think? A little while later, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe I'd stick at it for a whole month, and then it would be too much. And then I'd sort of think, oh yeah, I'll go back to the way I was, and I'd give it up. And then something new would come along, someone would encourage me with something, or the Lord would show me something in my study, and I'd get all excited about it again, and off I'd go, and it'd be all great and exciting, and then what would happen? Something else would come up, and I'd get distracted, or, you know, it just came to my mind that I realized I was a sprinter in my Christian experience. I loved short sprints, short, exciting sprints. And then once that was done, I'd lay on the grass and lie there for a while and wait for the next one. But you know, when I read Hebrews chapter 12, he says, let us run with what? Patience. What is another word for patience, do you think? Perseverance. That's a good word. Perseverance. Let us run with perseverance. What do you think it means in your Christian life to be persevering? Sorry? Not giving up. You know, see, there are days in your Christian experience when you feel really excited. On Sabbath, we spent Sabbath with some old friends of ours, friends that we knew back in the days when we were friends, knew the Evetts, and we haven't seen them for years. We stopped in and spent Sabbath with them at their little place up in Ukiah, and we had a lovely Sabbath together. It's like a real blessing. Do you ever have place times like that when you just have great fellowship and you study together and you just come away thinking, that was a high in my Christian experience? But then what happens? So often that high becomes a low because we don't persevere. We run on spurts. We run on just a random, quick movement rather than long-term goals. See, when we read Hebrews chapter 12, he says, wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, a race that we're looking at, that Paul is talking about in the book of Hebrews, is not a sprint. It's not about coming to ID camp, being really good for a week, and then going home and saying, wow, that was tough, but I did it. It's about coming to ID camp and saying, okay, this is first leg. This is leg number one of this race that I'm entering, and I'm not going to get out of this race until when? I'm not going to get out of this race until Jesus comes to take me home. See, friends, what you're in now is long term. You have joined the running race of your life. And you're looking not to yourself thinking, oh, I can't do it. There's no way I can keep this up for a whole week, let alone a whole lifetime. He doesn't say that. He says, run one day at a time, but look to the future, knowing that it's not about pushing yourself so hard today that you burn out tomorrow. It's about looking to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, one foot in front of the other. One trial before the other, one victory after the other. When we consider what you're here for, when you consider what you're learning in your memory text, buying that which will not waste your money, buying that which will not waste your time, buying that which will not waste your energy, it's worth it. It's important. And it's essential that we recognize that you are not here just to comply with the rules. You're here to learn about what Jesus really has in store for you. And throughout the course of this week, I want to share with you some things that have happened in my life, things that have happened in our ministry back in Australia, things that have happened around the world And I want to help you to see that God has a plan for you. You might be sitting there right now thinking you're too young to plan your life. But did you know that Jeremiah was called from the womb? Before he was even born, he was called to be a prophet. God knew you before you were born, and he planned a life for you, and now he's calling you into the race. The race of your life. The race of faith. And tonight he says more than anything else, look not to your friends, look not to the leaders, look not to other people around you, but look to Jesus. And tonight, as we begin this week, I want to pray that each and every one of you will not look to us, will not look to each other, but you will start to look only to Jesus, that he might guide you, that he might lead you, that he might show you the wonderful, perfect plan that he has for your life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, tonight we have read in your word that we need to have faith in order that we might run the race that you have before us with patience and perseverance. Father, tonight we ask that you'll send your Holy Spirit to us to teach us how to do this, because in and of ourselves we can't do it. But we thank you that you are right now calling to our hearts, and we want to say, yes, Lord Jesus, we're looking to you. Show us, teach us, guide us, take us, use us. Lord, it is our prayer this week that you will be with us in a special way, that we will learn how to walk by faith, how to live by faith, and how to work by faith, to hasten the day when Jesus comes and takes us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.